Was it something we said?
Are you talking to me?
Do you have a comment to make?
Are you talking to me?
Or a bone to pick with us? Why not send us an email to feedback@midwestpeaceprocess.com or join our forum at forum.midwestpeaceprocess.com. Or you can just leave us a comment on our Facebook page, facebook.com/midwestpeace, or follow us on Twitter @midwestpeace. So that's how to contact us. Now let's give you something to contact us about.
This week, we go for the gold in podcasting, but we'd settle for the bronze. Welcome to the Midwest Peace Process.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen.
I have the pleasure to present to you now. Ladies and gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen.
I have the pleasure to present to you
the Midwest Peace Process.
The world is very different now.
The Midwest Peace Process.
To the other country.
A government can't control the economy without controlling people.
We will gain the inevitable triumph, so help us God.
Ask not what America will do for you, but what together we can do for the freedom of man.
To remind America of the fierce urgency of now. 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 Now.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Now.
The Midwest.
Now.
Peace.
Now.
Process.
Now. Now. Now.
Welcome to episode 37. Today is August 2nd, 2012. I'm Jerry.
I'm Jeremy.
And this is Rob.
And as you can tell, probably, we are on location once again. We are here at GC Food and Brewery. So we want to give a shout-out to the folks here who are hosting us once again. And we also want to thank our listener, Eric, who has joined us for another lively round of discussion.
Yeah, didn't pass up the opportunity.
So we're happy to have him here. I want to send a shout-out to the Melodies. Yes.
Who are the Melodies?
They are a local St. Louis area band that just got back from their first tour, and we'd like to give them some support. So we're going to put a link to their Facebook page in the show notes and encourage everybody to check them out. We'll also be using their music on the break. So,
what kind of music is it? Polka?
No.
Ska?
No.
Reggae?
Hello. I say, baby, why don't you dance anymore? I've never seen nobody moving like you. I say, baby, why don't you dance anymore? You've got to tell me now why, oh why. My baby won't tell me.
They're kind of alternative rock.
Oh, nice.
I'm not really sure how they would characterize themselves, but...
Yeah, I'll give a plug. I'll give a plug to something that we... Just because I like it. Big fan. I just go 89.1 The Wood, Smart Mix, the Lindenwood College radio station. It's high quality.
I'm telling you about that for...
I don't listen to when you say things.
That's because he thought you heard about it on Proj.
Exactly. Well. So check that it out. It's got limited radius, but high quality.
For the diversity of music, that is by far the best station in St. Louis. And I don't mean diversity in a shelf kind of way. I mean just a lot of different good music.
Right. Use a different word, though.
This episode is dedicated to my lovely wife, who just tonight dedicated a shelf in the freezer to me and my food. Thanks, babe.
That's a good woman there.
Is there anything on the shelf?
Yeah, what do you keep on that shelf?
Dead body parts or what?
No, it's usually my lunches that I take to work. You know.
What's going to happen if something shows up on there that's not your own? It'll
happen. Because this is not the first time I've had a dedicated shelf, you know.
So what is... But, I don't know. What was... Why?
just to make it easier for me to find my food.
Very generous.
Because, you know,
but there's going to be
I'm still a bachelor at heart. I don't know my way around my own kitchen, so
it's not going to last. Sorry, shelf creep.
That's right. That's right. Okay, so moving into our discussion here, we got a couple of topics to cover tonight.
Rob,
what do you got?
Rob's random thought of the week.
Sure, which is good. For it.
Probably not controversial, but I enjoyed thinking about the controversy about the Olympic opening ceremony, U.S. Olympians walking in clothes that were made in China.
Yeah.
Somehow became a point of controversy, which,
right.
You know, on first glance seems kind of valid. Like, this is our American moment. Why aren't we doing an American thing? But what is more modern American in our current era than our ability to outsource things we don't want to do and make it cheap for ourselves? Isn't that what we do? That's all American. I can't think of anything that's more American. It's more American than apple pie. That's what we do. We're very efficient about taking things that we need but we don't want to do ourselves and making it very cheap. Somehow, it's crazy that we can find a way to ship designs overseas, have little tiny foreign hands make it for us, put it on a boat, ship it all the way back to us, and it's cheaper than doing it ourselves. That's American innovation. That's
except
all American.
That there's an effort or a push to have things made in America again.
What's that?
Except there's a push to buy American again.
As in textiles?
Yeah, remember the clothing was at, I don't know if it was Walmart or somewhere that had it was a big deal because it had a Made in America tag on it. That was 15 years ago.
Well, and also, it's no thanks to us that it's cheaper to do that, right? I mean, those other countries are constantly being accused of violating human rights and whatnot in order to keep their labor cheap.
Right.
So, I mean, you know, it's kind of like us just outsourcing our slavery to another country.
Right, right. It's very efficient. It's very American.
But this isn't, was it the last Olympics? Or it's been within the last three or four Olympiads that the flags were, the American flags were made in China.
Right.
Made overseas somewhere, and that was a big deal.
I say we shouldn't make a big deal out of it. The way things are.
So do you think all the track shoes and, you know, other equipment
right.
Nike, because a lot of them wear Nike, right?
Right.
That's all made overseas.
Right.
In Malaysia, I think.
Yeah, it was interesting to think about what we were really mad about. Like, are we really mad that, hey, we can make that? Because we can't make that. You know? Were we thinking that we somehow have this booming textile industry in the States, which we don't?
Well,
what were we really frustrated
about? Well, okay, I think it's admitting that we can't make it, but if we could, that we would at least do it for the Olympics,
right? That's true.
Just we would at least find a Betsy Ross somewhere who could hand make all of those uniforms.
Someone to audition casting call like American Idol, but
right.
Be like American Sewer.
Right.
They would come in and try to sew something. We're the final three people who can make clothes. It was good. It was amidst the controversy about exactly what we were mad about.
Yeah.
Well, who brought it
when
up?
Rob did.
No.
I think it was a combination of right-wing and left-wing types that got angry.
So it was bipartisan support.
It was bipartisan.
Right. There you go. Finally, some bipartisan support going on in Germany.
Yeah. When you first brought that up, I thought of it. There's this, I guess it's a blog that's on CNN, or maybe it's an editorial that they run every week, but it's written by a comedian whom I've never heard of, but the title of it is Apparently This Matters, and every week he comes up with something like that, that you just wouldn't think it's news, but it is, and it's like, Apparently This Matters.
There you go.
This is me getting a beer.
All right. Drink up.
That's my nugget of the day.
All right.
Done after that. So you guys fired me up.
Your second nugget was a lot more controversial, I thought.
We won't go there.
Come on.
Backpedal. All right, fine. We won't go there.
Come on, Rob.
I was interested a little bit in the controversy about gaffes on the Romney trip to Palestine. I don't know, and I
want to read what you wrote. It's right here.
But that was in a more fired up stance. I got a beer in me now. I'm a peaceful beer guy.
Hi, Danielle.
Okay. Hi. Are you still broadcasting at the moment?
We're recording right now.
Me? Yes.
Well,
that's fine.
We can ask you a question.
Well, ask me a question.
Okay. What's your favorite political story of the week?
The fact that I'm a waitress and I'm here 50 hours a week in another place 30 hours, I have no idea what's going on in the world right now.
Oh,
I'll be honest, I'm sorry.
So you're working hard for the money.
Yes.
So if I may ask, what do you do for a healthcare situation?
I'm lucky to be under my mom still. I am also a student, so when fall comes around, I'll be back at school, but I'll be in Fargo, so I'll be going to Moorhead.
All right.
Lucky enough, I'm only 21. So I'm not utilizing that, 27 and
26.
Under?
26.
That's right. We redefine kids.
Yeah. I was kind of proved independent at 18. So 17, 18.
Good for you.
So there's a girl here complaining. She's 23 now. Just got kicked off her parents. Like, they stopped paying rent for her and stuff now. And I listen to her complain next to me. And I'm sitting here, I'm like, okay, I've been doing this since I was 17, started buying my own clothes when I was 16. I don't need handouts, and her parents just, hopefully she's not.
Okay. As she looks over her shoulder.
Yeah, it's making sure. But,
good for you.
Dad,
it's true American right
Dad
here.
Dad taught me that way. I'm from Texas, so as far as that goes, you know, I don't see that a lot in the poor area of St. Louis. So is this, what all do you guys talk about?
Mostly politics? Yeah.
So the idea is we have a bunch of different viewpoints. We have a conservative, libertarian, anarchist guy. I'm a liberal. We don't have no idea what
you're saying.
Okay.
He's just here for the beer.
Does that get heated with you guys? Do you guys get all heated up about it? Or are you guys
Sometimes.
But it's pretty...
Or coexisting with the ideas is okay.
Yeah.
We do a lot of coexisting.
Wow. The Idaho nachos have just arrived, and they look delicious.
And it's all mine.
That's right. Jeremy earned them. He's going to keep them all to himself. He's not going to donate any of them to the less fortunate.
Just in case you
want
to share them.
Oh, the irony. I'm just saying, since I'm a conservative, I'm not going to share them with anybody.
That's right.
He just wasn't. He doesn't want to be forced to share it.
I was going to say something about
him. Okay. Back to the show.
Did we do the Romney gap? Mm-hmm.
Start the
Romney. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, right, sorry.
All right. We'll act like.
I forgot you started. Yeah, go ahead.
So one thing I was interested about the Romney trip, I guess he made a lot of gaffes, kind of insulted the English a little bit about how ready they were. You know, he didn't pander at the right time. I mean, it was basically what he did. Doesn't he know he's supposed to be in pander mode? Didn't do it. But the thing he said about the Palestinians and the Israelis, so there he was in pander mode. But I thought it was telling of what he said. He said he made a controversial comment that said the reason why the Palestinians aren't as economically viable and don't have as much GDP per capita as the Israelis was because of some reason of culture, which raised some eyebrows. And I thought, well, it should raise a few eyebrows. So that's the form of racism that I'm most sensitive to. I mean, we have kind of your stereotypes and your physical characteristics and your silly names for other groups. I think we all know those types. But the thing that I'm real sensitive to is this idea that you can kind of, like a dominant power, can kind of push their thumb down on whatever the minority group is. And then the minority group has trouble rising up, and then you lift your thumb up for a second and go like, look, they're not doing a whole lot. This minority group doesn't seem to be performing. It must be something inherent in the way they're going.
Must be their culture.
Right, and it happens it happened with black quarterbacks. Nobody wanted to put a black quarterback in there until Doug Williams won the Super Bowl, and then they're like, oh, well, maybe we should. But before then, they're like, well, you know, I don't think these black people can really be quarterbacks. Well, it's because nobody ever gave them a chance to be quarterbacks. Right. Or women in the boardroom, or women in technical fields. You know, you just sort of push them out, and then you look at a bunch of dude astronauts and go, hey, this must be for the dudes. And so that's kind of what this was. It's like, I think we could say the Israelis got a little bit of a thumb on our Palestinian friends. And then to turn around and say, well, they're just not thriving because of their culture was quite an eye-opening comment.
Who's the black comedian who's made the joke about why there are no black people who play hockey?
I don't remember.
Because we don't feel the need to dominate yet another sport.
It was Chris Rock.
Was it?
Yeah, of course.
Oh, yeah, because he talked about, he said he didn't want to be around a bunch of people hitting a little black thing with sticks. He would rather be good at bowling for that big black ball and knock over those white pins with red necks.
Nice.
Beautiful. Those comment of the week, they kind of made more of the gap in England with the Olympics because it was easier to understand. But I thought that was an interesting little eye opener.
So
or maybe it could have just been a gap. I'm not big on.
But the question then becomes: was it a gap, or was it like we discussed last time?
Insight.
Well, yeah.
Right.
Did he let his guard down and show his true character?
Like Obama and his, you didn't build that.
Right.
In the case of the Olympic comment, though, I mean, it's just one. I'm not sure I call that a gap, just because I think it was honest, and I think it was just politically sensitive, maybe. I mean, because he wasn't the first one to say that they're not ready. I think it was in Dave Barry's column, he pointed out that all the British reporters took a break from complaining about how unprepared England was for the Olympics to complain about how Romney commented on how unprepared they were for the Olympics. So, that one was, I think, kind of blown out of proportion. But then you heard the Prime Minister got him back saying that out of the middle of nowhere, like, you guys did.
That's in a bustling metropolis of the world in the middle of nowhere.
It's kind of harsh for the residents of Salt Lake City, but hey, the shoe fits.
I think if you're the mayor of London, you could lob that.
Yeah, that's right, Mayor of London.
But yeah, it did show a little bit of clumsiness, but
when he's trying to give a prepared speech in front of the Israelis, I think that one's a bit more. Unforgivable.
That's all he's got left now, right? To campaign on is that he ran the Olympics.
Right.
Because you can't talk about Bain Capital and you can't talk about when he was governor. So what else is there? That's all he's ever done in his life.
Yeah, it's quite a campaign. I feel for you guys. My heart is bleeding.
Don't say you guys. Don't include me in that.
Don't include me either. I didn't want him to get the nomination.
He's just another ass clown on the...
You're not going to vote. You're going to tick that box.
I don't know. Part of me...
breaking news.
Listen to this. Part of me would like to vote for Obama so that I can say, look, I voted for him. I gave him a shot.
And you can always say, I don't always vote Republican.
I don't. I didn't before. And in local races, I don't always vote Republican.
There is the theory for a modern conservative to wait this one out. That it would be rare to see as the pendulum swings a Democrat in 2016. You know, wait till you get a real candidate, wait till you can really do your thing, let this economy continue to tank, and then come through in the clutch and really do your thing. There you go. That's my pitch for Obama. Let it tank.
They keep saying, yeah, we're going to have, we're going to put this candidate forward. This is our chance to put a candidate forward. And they never put forward a good candidate.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I have this question for you guys. And I will say you guys. So I get these sort of contradicting inputs about who Obama is. I mean, you have this sort of...
you mean besides a Muslim socialist trying to run a country?
No, but he's president. He's kind of played as sort of like a bumbling doofus that can't do anything.
Except play basketball.
Can't bowl.
And that just doesn't know what he's doing. Well, wouldn't there be like a high-powered queue of dudes lining up to beat him? Like, why is it so hard? Why are people so afraid? Because I think there were candidates that could have came out this year that intentionally waited it out because they thought they couldn't beat him.
Yeah. They'd rather wait until it's a open,
right,
open
right.
season.
Right. Yeah.
We've talked about this before.
Oh, did we?
We did.
I don't
know. Rob, your memory is gone. You might want to go for a checkup. I don't.
It could be this.
Could be the beer.
Well, I just put it out there again because I like to think about it.
Okay, well, and that's fine. Because I don't think we solved why nobody is coming out. But one of the things I brought up, and I think you disagreed with it, and we're talking about racism, the cultural, you know, the culture.
It's all coming back to me.
And I said that there's a factor there that you cannot attack the way you normally would because you'll be branded a racist.
Yeah, I remember.
And that is it's a non-trivial aspect of running against Obama. There was already a story out that I don't remember who. I don't know if they were somebody important or just another mouthpiece. But they said that if you assail Obama for his "you didn't build that," you're a racist.
What?
Yes. I may have even put it in the reading room.
That's not what normal people think.
That's
meaning Rob.
I don't think that means normal. But it's more to it than just that. But that is a factor. I have to believe
it makes him like
well, it is
unbeatable.
It is a dimension that has not existed in previous elections. It's something that, you know, you haven't had to worry about. You haven't had to tiptoe around those issues before.
Why, if he's so wrong, why is it so hard to just say?
It's not.
But I think the mittens is going to have a hard time saying why he's wrong.
Well, it's the same thing when Bush was running for a second term. He should have been so easy to beat, and he wasn't.
That's right? More of a failing of John Kerry sucking.
Well, but that's your point, too, because they didn't win. Your Republicans aren't bringing up anybody
either,
right?
That's kind of what I'm saying. Right. Yeah, and that's, again, I mentioned this before, for you people out there that don't understand the Obama enthusiasm, you have to remember, we weren't as fired up as Bush and Gore as we were at 2004 when it was our time to reverse the curse, you know? And then we threw up that guy.
So how does that happen?
John Kerry is our Mitt Romney. He was the guy waiting in the wings. He was the establishment candidate, and we thought it was his time.
I can do that. I mean, there's... You know, we kind of hit on this in a past episode, but there's all this like politics that just goes on within the party, right? That we're not privy to, you know. And so, yeah, there's a pecking order that isn't obvious to people who are outside looking in.
For instance,
and that's why you have people like John McCain who are suddenly thrown out there. It's like, who's this guy? Where did he come from?
When Joe Biden and his wife were on Oprah after the election, and his wife said something about, yeah, they offered us a choice between vice president and secretary of state. He was like, trying to...
So it really scares me that you knew that John Biden was on Oprah.
Yes, right.
I remember it because of that story that... Here's, you know, old happy Joe Biden. You know.
I remember that controversy.
And, yeah. So there's
they offered day.
You haven't eaten anything yet.
I have eaten. I've eaten two fries.
All right. Well, I don't want to keep you from eating your mound of potatoes there.
Yeah, like the they part is the best part of that quote.
The they?
Why? He's the they. They offered it.
Right. Like it's the star chamber.
Well, yeah, right.
I use they a lot, and I try not to because it's...
No, but I know what you mean, because I'm sure that's what she said.
Yeah.
And it is, it's the unnamed they.
Right.
But really, I mean...
It's the syndicate. It's the cigarette-smoking man. It's the,
right.
It's the Bilderbergers.
It's
the Illuminati.
Well, I assumed it was Obama and his advisor, you know, Rahm Emanuel, and they're saying, okay, this is what we're going to do. I didn't take it to the conspiratorial level.
No, I'm not either, but...
I think it's larger than that.
the first person I would have thought of was chairman of the DNC, whoever that was.
Right. Wasn't that, oh crap,
that was Howard Dean.
Yeah.
I screamed.
lost an election in the spring.
Yeah.
I like Howard Dean.
You're not a fan?
Eric gave me a look.
Eric just did a spit take.
He's a good, strong bulldog-type Democrat who can really bring it. You know, a lot of these Democrats sort of understand, are like...
I sort of understand why
right.
the whole
He's
thing torpedoed him, but it's a shame that it did, because he showed some real enthusiasm.
Right,
like, we're going to go after this thing. I don't care what happened.
Right. And he had some strong policy points that were a little controversial, but he really brought it. Which is what your Republicans aren't really doing.
He just went a little Clark Griswold on everybody.
Yeah, we miss him. What's he doing now? He's like a commentator.
I think he's working at Chili's.
Howard, he's back in Vermont.
Oh, whoops, man down.
Podcast foul. All right. So, I got a topic that I put a couple of links in the reading room right after this happened, and I don't know how deeply we want to get into this, but the theater shooting in Aurora, Colorado, and you know this happens every time there's a high profile shooting like this.
What happened?
We start talking about gun control.
Really?
That's like
I think the gun control conversation about this whole thing has been pretty muted.
Well, I think it's because a lot of the people will try to bring it up, and they're like, nope, not the right time for gun control.
Yeah, too soon.
But nobody's really leveraging it to push some law or legislation, are they? Not that I know.
Dude. It happens every time.
You haven't seen the headlines.
No.
You haven't heard, is it Panetta who said, yeah, there's, you know, we should really think about some controls.
Well, even Obama came out with his statement about it. I mean, he didn't come right out and say that, but, you know, if you read between the lines what he was saying, it was gun control. That would have solved everything.
How has Obama been on gun control? Has he taken away your weapons so far? He's had 4 years to try it.
They have limited surplus buys, ammunition.
Yeah.
They've been buying up ammunition.
I think we covered that on a past episode.
Yeah, we did.
My eyes are hurting from rolling. So
but, I mean, generally speaking, I would say it has not been the apocalypse that... It has not been the apocalypse that, you know, we were told it was going to be before he was elected.
All right, that's all I'm looking for.
I will give you that. But it's I mean, he's certainly no friend of gun owners.
No. But he's also not...
But why isn't he? I mean, what? That's like the litmus test for the Democratic Party, right? You have to be anti-gun, just like you have to be pro-life to be a Republican.
It's like you have to lower taxes, just like it's...
Right? Yeah.
You don't have to be anti-gun, you have to be anti-big gun.
What's that mean? What's a big gun?
I don't know. What is a big gun? I don't know my gun type. I'm liberal.
You're talking assault rifles, like AK-47, AR-15.
Sure, right. Or like what this guy did. He was able to go online, no background check, right? Now we are talking about gun control, right? Like, so, he went online, background check, amassed this arsenal.
Right.
What background check, what would that have done? He had no criminal record.
Right.
No background check would have stopped him from doing anything.
Right. I'm not proposing a law that would have stopped this. I think that's part of the reason why this hasn't really come up. Because I don't think anybody could really point to a law that would really stop
it. No, I disagree with that because, people are bringing up he had a 100-round clip and he used an assault weapon. So they're saying, so the questions that I've heard asked is, are there legitimate purposes for owning those weapons outside of going into a theater and killing people? I mean, that's the question that's being asked.
And what is an assault weapon?
Right.
I mean, who defines what an assault weapon is? You know, we had the assault weapons ban that Clinton passed that has since expired. I didn't notice a significant increase in the number of, shootings like this after the assault weapons ban expired.
That's because good citizens brought their assault weapons to fight the other criminals.
And, I mean, even when they were talking about that law, it was like, they had a hard time defining what an assault weapon is. Now, this guy had an AR-15, which is the civilian equivalent of an M-16, which is what, you know, every member of the Army, every member of the Marines is issued on day one. So, does that constitute an assault weapon because members of the military carry them? I'll tell you what, when you're in the military, you look at that weapon and think, well, it's pretty inadequate compared to all the other stuff I got around here. This is a little pea shooter compared to, you know, some of the real weaponry that's available to the military.
So, and they're still semi-automatic, too. They're not...
Right, right. I mean, three-round burst. That's all you get out of an M16. And the civilian equivalent doesn't even do burst.
Right.
It's only one shot at a time.
Yeah.
So, and it's kind of hard for the... You know, one of the... I remember in the law, one of the criteria was it had to have a bayonet lug. Come on.
Right, right.
Really?
Maybe it's the definition of porn. Like, you know it when you see it.
Yeah, maybe. I can't define it, but I'll know when I see it.
Jeremy, do you eye roll like that virtually to Rob all the time?
Yes.
See, I don't get that visceral reaction when you listen to the podcast.
Yeah, we need a sound effect for the eye roll so we can insert that.
Like the slot machine that Jerry went rollers on the slot.
Right.
Yeah, I just can't grasp how you're saying since it hasn't come up. Because it has come up. And for you to, you're saying
really, nothing's happening on gun control. Nothing's happening. What do we just say the last 4 years? Now, what do you think's going to happen the next 4 years?
And
you think if Obama wins, he's going to be like, now's my chance. And he's going to, like you do the Mr. Burns fingers and, like, now take away your weapons? He hasn't shown any sign of doing it yet.
I don't know. I can't say what will or won't happen. But to say banning them is a solution, it's been proven that it's not a solution.
Well, okay, I will say in Japan, there were a total of 11 gun murders last year, which is two last year and 11 the year before, something like that. Now, having said that, they've outlawed personal weaponry completely. The only thing you can have is stuff that was grandfathered in since like World War II or before.
Samurai sword.
Yeah, yeah. So if you get rid of people having guns, you will get rid of murders with guns.
I don't believe that.
Well, like I said, that's what's going on in Japan. Now, essentially, they're a police state. You know, if that's what you really want in the U.S.
No, that's not what we want. And you also have another factor there. Like, back to the cultural thing, there is a definite cultural difference in Japan, an honor that is not widespread throughout the world.
We don't have that here.
No, we don't have it here
in the world. We don't do that here.
No, I can't think of another country where I would say, yeah, they're on par with Japan on their honor code.
Right. And I think the mass shooting, I think it's an American thing. I mean, the Norwegian dude went around and shot
except when it's not.
Come on, give me some examples.
Well, there have been a couple in Israel.
Yeah, do you want to talk mass shootings or mass murders?
Well, yeah, I mean, we have, terrorism, or suicide bombings. I guess the idea of taking guns and capping a bunch of people in a movie theater for no reason is...
And the other, I don't even agree with that. I think we just don't hear about it because our news goes out. News from around the world doesn't come in.
That's because it has all those foreigners in it.
Exactly. Who cares about foreigners?
They talk funny. Yeah. Okay, so the reason I brought this up was Jason Alexander, the actor. He posted George Costanza from Seinfeld. He posted an essay online about his feelings concerning gun control, and that stirred up a lot of controversy, a lot of talk, especially on Twitter.
I heard about it, but I didn't read it. What was the premise of it?
Well, he's pretty much in favor of gun control. He's basically saying, you know, nobody needs an assault weapon. If you're a hunter, you can get by with a shotgun or a rifle. You don't need, you don't need this other high-powered weaponry. And in his essay, he quoted, and I don't even remember the quote now, but it was Alexander Hamilton. So, I mean, he's quoting the founding fathers, trying to lend some credence to his argument. And I replied to him on Twitter, and I said, hey, look, you want to quote the framers? How about Thomas Jefferson, where he said, the biggest reason you keep guns is to prevent tyranny in government. You know, and I had to paraphrase to get it into 140 right. characters. But
just like Thomas Jefferson. Like,
yeah.
You had to get in the pamphlet.
That's right.
How is, if the guy in Colorado had a shotgun, it would have been just as bad.
He did have a shotgun. He walked in there with a pistol, a shotgun, and an AR-15. Okay. He had three weapons on him.
So,
and another 1,000 rounds of ammo in his car.
So, well, I think that misses the point. I think, and so does George Costanza. It's not about the hunting. The reason why you want the bigger weapon is for self-defense against the government or somebody else who has a bigger weapon, right? It's not about not shooting deer with the AR-15, you know, whatever it is.
Right.
You know, the gun types.
Well, I would just like to see, I mean, if you're going to go off the deep end, right, and perpetrate one of these horrendous crimes against innocents. Oh,
sorry.
What was the other one you said you had?
Like, we have the Bach or an IPA.
I'll have the Bach, please.
Bach, two Bachs, tea. I haven't even really dug into it.
I'm working on it.
It's not as good when it gets cold.
He's too busy talking. I told him to eat and talk at the same time.
Shuffle in really quick right. and then finish the conversation. Okay. It'll give you, like, it's brain food. I don't know, just the brain food.
You need a lot more food.
So, I mean, if they're going to go off the deep end and go out there and, you know, load up and shoot a bunch of innocent people, I wish they'd go after the government, right? Like the guy who crashed his plane into the IRS building in Austin, Texas.
I'm not sure they'd get arrested for that. Yeah.
Wait a minute. I think you're going to get arrested for both of them, but...
No, I think we need to get arrested. I think we need to go after the government.
Well, I'm just saying, if you're going to send the message should be... I'm pissed off. I'm mad as hell. I'm not going to take it anymore. So I'm going to go kill a bunch of people in a movie theater.
But he's crazy. He's not mad at anything in particular.
Well, is he?
How do you know?
I don't know that. You don't know that.
Well, he was... There was a psychiatric evaluation that got submitted to the University of Colorado before he dropped out, saying, you might want to watch this guy.
Well, okay. So, I had not read that.
All right, and I mean, usually, and like the Norwegian guy, then, right? There were books and books and manifestos about why he did it, and then he did it. This guy didn't have any, right. You know, wasn't mad at moviegoers or popcorn eating.
And you got, you know, Jared Loeffler, who shot, what's her name, a representative from I mean, he's a nutcase. No question.
Trying to get Jody Foster's attention right by shooting Reagan.
Right. Yeah.
No, those are actually very well related because there's a Loeffler guy, you flesh this Democratic politician on the tail crosshairs on the Arizona map and all this. And then you tried to dig into, you know, well, why was he mad about it? And he didn't have any, it was just as stupid as the Hinckley Jody Foster thing. So it looked political, but it wasn't. So what was it about?
What frustrates me about it is they're doing it to send a message.
Right.
I mean, even if they're a nutcase, there's a motivation there for them to express themselves to the public, and this is the way they choose to do it.
Right.
It's completely wrong. It's unjustifiable. But at least if you're going to do it, send the right message.
Yeah, I don't think the guy's in a frame of mind that allows him to think of what the right message is.
Maybe not. But some of them do. Like I said, the guy who crashed his plane into the IRS building in Texas.
Well, like McVeigh taking out a government building.
Yeah.
And I feel good when you send your message. That, you know, I'm pretty minuscule, so I feel like I might be, like, under the crossfire.
That's right. I promise I won't shoot you.
All right.
Yes.
But even when they do send that message with the plane crash in the building or the McVeigh, the message gets lost, I think. By the media coverage.
Yeah. You're right.
It doesn't become, this is why he was mad. He targeted the government.
Right.
And
well, and then you have to get into the whole liberal bias of the media debate again, because, you know, they're going to look at that and they're always going to go after the fact that, you know, he violated the law, that, you know, he shouldn't have had guns in the first place. Whatever they can do to discredit him as an individual, you're right, they won't focus on the message. I mean, even if he writes a 50-page manifesto, that's sort of a footnote to...
Can I ask you a question, though? Because I'm not a gun owner at all or anything, so I don't know. But so you guys know more about guns than I do. I must admit, something that I don't get, though, is some of the conservatives coming out and saying the place would have been a lot safer if everybody in there would have had a gun.
Oh, yeah, Eric.
Well, I mean, he shot 70 people. Right, you don't do that instantly. It takes you a minute or two to shoot that many people.
Do you think most of your average Joe gun owners out there are savvy enough with their weapons to get the right guy in a foggy, because he likes a lot of smoke bombs,
right?
In a foggy, dark movie theater with a bunch of people running around screaming?
Well, I don't know. I would hope so. If you're going to carry everywhere you go, you had better make the commitment to be trained with the weapon. Right? I mean, that's sort of the expectation, in my mind. You have the right to carry, but you have the responsibility to do it, you know, responsibly, and learn how to use the weapon. You're not just carrying it so that you can flash it at somebody and, you know.
Well, I do think that's a little bit of a fantasy world.
Maybe.
Because I think if more and more people have guns, we're still going to have these issues. And,
maybe. But on the flip side of that, this guy picked a movie theater because he knew nobody in there would be armed.
Right.
Well, he knew
there,
he was not.
Is there a concealed carry law in Colorado?
Yeah, they do allow concealed carry.
So there might have been somebody in there.
Well, not in the movie theater, because you're not allowed to carry in a movie theater. I'm totally okay with that if it's the movie theater's choice to not allow people to carry in there. If it's a law, though, that says you can't carry in this place, this place, this place, this place, then I got a problem with that.
Maybe it would have been no different if somebody in there was carrying. But
maybe
the
not.
Odds are better, I would say.
Yeah.
If nobody's carrying, then you have zero odds. If somebody is, there's a chance.
I mean, how many stories did you hear about the people that, you know, dove to, like, protect their girlfriend or protect their friend or whatever from the bullets? If just one of those people had been armed and trained, rather than diving to protect somebody else, they could have ducked the cover and returned fire and took the guy out. Or at least scared him so that he ran out of the theater and stopped shooting at people.
And there were military members in there.
Right.
At least one was killed.
So, I mean, obviously it's impossible to say how it would have played out. But it would have been different. You can say that with certainty. It would have been different. And maybe instead of 70 people being injured and 12 dead, you would have had 10 injured and 1 dead.
Right, but couldn't you get
that
same result by banning the AR-15?
He's not going to observe that law.
Right. I think that's why people are kind of running away from this. Is you can't, other than just banning weapons completely or banning these types of weapons, whatever it is, the guy was clean, bought him online, no one wants to really stop that, passed his background check, got his ammo, like, everything was certain. Right, but yeah, I think if he did have a background check, he would have passed it. So there's nothing, I think it just becomes like a big non-issue.
Right.
To go somewhere, step back. In the rhythm of in time, what you thought you saw was all in your mind. Get back, what you give and love will shine through the darkest night and tingle down your spine. My son, never let money ruin your life. Your heart beats more.
Another clip there from the Melodies. Hope you enjoyed that. This is Jerry. I just want to let you know this episode ran a little long. The beer was flowing and we talked for over 2 hours. So I've cut it down into 2 separate episodes, but I want to make sure that you check out next week's. It was very interesting. We normally have a sign hanging up when we do an on-location show that invites people in the bar to come join us in our discussion. And one gentleman named Brian actually took us up on that offer and joined us for the second half of the show. It was a really interesting discussion with him, so I would encourage all of our listeners to check that out when we release episode 38 next week. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you soon.